Welcome to Hope Is Here. My name is Greg Horn. Started talking in yesterday's program about how can you really have a new year, capitalizing the word new. Obviously, the calendar day is new as we go to date things. And instead of ending with a 19, now it's a 20. And we based everything yesterday off of one verse, Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. I'm still not all that I should be, but I'm focusing all my energies on just one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. And I want to encourage you, if you missed yesterday's program, it's only 14 minutes long, to go to our website, hopeishere.today. That's hopeishere.today. You can catch that 14-minute program. And yet I do want to say something about that verse there. I mean, I love that it just admits at the beginning of that verse, I'm still not all that I should be. And yeah, I don't care whether you're 14 or you're 54 like me, or I know we have people that are 84 and older that listen to Hope Is Here on a regular basis. Until you've taken your last breath, I don't think any of us are all that God wants us to be. And I don't mean that in a judgmental or a discouraging way. I'm saying it's an encouraging way that you can say, hey, God, how can you use my one and only life to help further your kingdom and help bless somebody else today? I mean, God loves to bless his kids with financial things. He's a generous God. He's a good God. He's a good father. At the same time, it's not so we can hoard things and just spend them all on ourselves, but it's so that we can bless others. And that's one thing that I love about Hope Is Here ministry, that we've been able to help a lot of people emotionally, mentally, and even a few people financially because of the blessings of people that have given and provide hope for some single parents and a person that lost their child to a teenager to unexpected suicide and a job loss of another person. Just God's been so good to do that. And yet the fact of the matter is that none of us are where we think we should be. But instead of letting the enemy beat us up and not able to move forward in 2020, we need to do what Philippians 3:13 says, and that's focus all our energies on just one thing. Not two or three things, not 10 things, just one thing. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. That's Philippians 3:13. So maybe that's your verse for this year. That you're going to, even though you know you're not all you should be, you're going to focus all your energies on one thing. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. So yesterday I did share about the first thing I wanted to share from that scripture is that accepting ourselves as God has made us and deciding to change at least one thing we don't like. And the second thing today that I want to share from that passage is I want to ask you, what is your focus for 2020? I mean, that scripture says that in Philippians 3:13, not all I should be, but I am focusing all my energies on this one thing. And something that's kind of gotten really popular over the last few years, but maybe you're not familiar with it. I just started doing it in 1997 myself. I'm sorry, 2017, not 1997, 2017. Hello. But, 3 years ago, but choosing a word for the year, maybe a theme for my life. And you don't just randomly pull this out of the air, but you pray about it for a few days and ask God to show you what is a word that would be good for me to kind of focus on in 2020. And as you listen today, you say, well, we're already a few days into 2020. That's okay. That's why I love it that God, over 360 days in a year, 365 to be exact, of course, unless you have a leap year or something, but there's still over 350 plus days if you're hearing this currently or within the recent time frame on a podcast of this program, Hope Is Here. But ask God, what is it? What would be good for you to have as a one-word theme? And there's a website that can help you this called getoneword.com. That's get, G-E-T, one, O-N-E, word, like it sounds, W-O-R-D, getoneword.com. And I want to encourage you to check that website out and maybe get some examples of that, some words that I've had friends use that really blessed them. The word simplify. I had a friend that just thought God just said, I just want you to simplify for this year. And so they really got rid of a lot of stuff, and they weren't rich. But of course, if you live in America, by over 80% of the world standards, you actually are rich. and extra clothes and just, you know, some clutter things, the garage, boxes of just stuff that hardly ever used, and blessing people with shoes and, you know, just extra athletic shoes, cleats, things like that, and pictures, books, lots of books. I mean, you know, it's good maybe to keep 20 or 25 that you like, but after that, I mean, how many do you really need? And they started simplifying. They downsized in housing, got a townhouse, because they said, I don't really need a big house. One of the words that I used in 2017 was the word plan. Felt like God wanted me to really just start planning more with every area of my life. And I've shared this in a program last year, but, you know, I think we have six boxes in our life, six areas, I'll call them. And, you know, the first one obviously is the spiritual box, the God box, having a personal relationship with Jesus. And how do you want to grow with that? And so looking into that area, then the next one I think is the health box. Okay, you look at that and say, hey, where am I with my health? Then you look at the financial box. How am I doing financially? You know, am I honoring God with the first part of my financial resources that he's entrusted me with? You know, the sad part is if people that really call themselves Christians, that have a personal relationship with Jesus and go to church, if they would all tithe, there wouldn't be a church that probably would be in debt in the whole country, and we would be able to help feed people. The church could be what God really would like for it to be, helping the widows and the orphans and taking care of anybody that, you know, doesn't have food. If everybody just tithe, I know a church recently, a pastor spoke, and they run, you know, about 450, occasionally 500. They average about 450, and he said he had been the pastor there for, I think, about 10 years. And he said, you know, the fact of the matter is our budget's like about 20,000. I think it was like 21,000 to be exact. But he said if everybody tithed here, gave 10% of their income, and did it on a regular basis, 52 weeks a year, you set up online giving, so if you're not there, just have it automatic sent. He said our budget ought to be $60,000 a year. And that's a church of, like I said, about 450 people. They have a few wealthy people, but most of them are just, you know, what normal average income is. And it just, it's a huge thing. If you want financial blessings, I think it starts there. But maybe you're like me. I didn't save well. I fortunately have tithed all my life, and I have to thank my mom for that. But, you know, if you're going to ask God to bless you, you got to make sure that you're saying, hey, God, I know, one, you ask us to give a tenth, a tithe, and the thing I can say to you beyond a shadow of a doubt, since I've been doing that ever since the age of 16, is that God has provided way more for me living off 90% than trying to hoard 100%. Over and over and over. You just, as the old saying goes, you can't outgive God. So you look at your God box, your health box, physically, the financial box. Look at your social box, you know, family and friends. I'm not talking about social media. Bible says that God said it's not good for man to be alone. Well, obviously, it's kind of talking about Adam and Eve and marriage and family. But you know, Paul also said that sometimes it's good to remain single because you can do a lot more for God's kingdom because you're not divided by trying to please a spouse. And so just socially, I mean, what are you doing with your family and friends box? Making a priority with your family. If you are married, making sure that you're having date nights with your kids, that you're spending time with them and letting them know how much you value them. And I think one of the things that, you know, we learn with your focus is one person I know told me that it was two words, but it was simply be present. They just wanted to be present. And they said, you know, I found myself, whether I was with my kids, friends, my spouse, even at work, so many times I wasn't present. I was thinking about my list of things to do. And we obviously know that, you know, God, he wants us to be focused and be present. And, you know, I want to encourage you maybe just to say, you know what, I'm going to really look people in the eyes. I'm not going to be rude and look down at my phone, even if they're boring me. And we all been there, know that, but it's not God honoring. It's not respectful, but really being present. and maybe when we're in phone conversations, not trying to do five different things, and just trying to be present. The word I've chosen for 2020 is the word forward. I'm wanting to move forward. I don't want to keep looking in the past at failures and things that haven't gone well. And 2019, honestly, was a really hard year in a lot of areas of my life. And yet, I just felt as I prayed and looked at this, it's forward. Okay, Lord, what do we have ahead? Because that's what Philippians 3:13 says, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. As the old saying goes, can't do anything about spilled beans. You know, once they're out on the floor, you got to pick them up, clean it up, throw it away, and go on, get something else to eat, right? Well, in this case, whatever's happened in the past, you can't do anything about that. But learn from it. You can learn from it. And that leads me to my third and final point out of Philippians chapter 3:13. If you're really going to have a new year in 2020, capital N-E-W, not just a calendar year, but a new life emotionally, mentally, physically, financially, you know, all those different boxes. To me, one of the biggest keys is letting go of the past. Letting go of the past. And, you know, it's okay to learn. As a good friend of my mom's used to say, it's okay to go back and visit occasionally to something that's happened in the past. And especially if it's something good, I mean, that's great. At the same time, God wants to do new things in our life all the time. And you can't just live off past memories. But I think mostly, if we're honest, we don't do that as much. We live, go back in the past, and we get stuck off painful memories and bad decisions we made and selfish decisions other people have made that have impacted us. And the enemy loves it. And I know I have been guilty of that in my life. And as my mom's good friend said, it's okay to visit the past, but don't set up camp there. And some of you need to pour some water on the fire there. You've been at the camp you went to just visit sometime in 2019, or actually it was 2015, and then 2016, and 2017, and 2018. Next thing you know, you look up, it's 2020, and you're still at that camp from that wound, from that divorce, from that bankruptcy, from that health scare, from that broken friendship, from being fired from a job. I mean, the list goes on and on. And one of my favorite visuals is throwing away the rearview mirror. We all have a rearview mirror in our car. I hope you do at least. And, you know, I had to replace one once after it fell down, came unglued. It was an older car, and I think it was like $10 to replace it at Walmart. And, man, you got to look in your rearview mirror every now and then to see what's coming up behind you in the car. So we got to do that for our own lives. But the bottom line is the windshield's probably, 20 times bigger than the rearview mirror. And I believe that's what God wants somebody listening today. He's like, hey, I got all these things for you in the front, but you got to forgive yourself for past mistakes, forgive others who have hurt you or made selfish decisions that have impacted you in 2019 or 2015, and look forward. Look out the windshield. Look ahead. And so when you get in your car in the mornings, I would encourage you, you know, you look in your rearview mirror to back out of your driveway if you have to, but to say, Lord, I give you this day. Thank you for what's happened in the past, the good and the bad, because you were there in the mountaintops. You were there in the valley. But most of all, you were with me, and I'm going to learn from it. And I'm moving forward today and keep looking forward through that windshield. And just say, God, I'm excited about what lies ahead, just like Philippians 3:13 tells us to do. And so I want to remind you, you're still not all that you should be, but I'm focusing all my energies on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. That's Philippians 3:13, and I'm Greg Horn, and this is Hope Is Here.
CMI is your full-service human resources provider in Central Kentucky. For 15 years, CMI Human Resources has taken great pride in helping organizations and people work. Whether it's employee handbooks or help in filling a position, no job is too large or too small for CMI. Contact the professionals today at CMI Human Resources, 859-296-2800, or online at cmiconsulting.com.